Hi, Jennifer Sage here with the Indoor Cycling Association. I am back with another audio masterclass. This is actually a remake of one that I did 4 years ago, and I have, well, it's like it's brand new. I've put so much more into it. It's called Progressive Hill Repeats to Pretend You Have Power. It's a veritable workshop that I'm giving to you right now. You're going to understand so much more about power, even if you don't have power meters, and you're going to be able to teach your students about power and why it's so important. Again, even if you don't have power meters. This is, I also call this how not to cheat. We're going to do 5 progressive climbs, and one of our goals is to educate students on the concepts of power so that they'll learn not to cheat. So our objective is, again, 5 hill repeats, progressively getting longer. And each one is going to be done at the same cadence. Riders are going to learn how to set a baseline resistance at that cadence and not drop below it. The ulterior motive, as I said, is to teach them how not to cheat when they're riding by educating them of the concept of power even without meters. You're not going to tell them that up front, however. You don't want to worry them that you're going to get all complicated and sciencey. You're not. And you don't want to influence them into setting an artificial baseline on that first hill because they're going to be worried about how hard it might get on successive hills. And we know some of our students do that. Now, what do I mean by cheating? Well, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. Virtually all of us have done it at some point. There are times when it's even a good thing to cheat because we recognize that our bodies should not go as hard on that particular day. And as instructors, you know, you should learn how to cheat. You should learn how to fake it because, especially if you teach a lot, you don't want to go hard all the time. Now, often this cheating is done unconsciously. And we all know that there are some students who actually consciously do not want to work as hard, even though they won't admit it. Some of them are even the ones who complain that, you know, indoor cycling or spinning doesn't work. Now, that can get pretty frustrating as an instructor because we know that if they rode at the resistance and cadence that we're asking for, then they would see more success than they are experiencing. So what's the answer? How do we get them to listen? This profile is going to help you help your riders become acutely aware of their actions and how their choices of resistance, their choices of cadence, their choices of whether to listen to you or not, is going to affect their success. You're not going to call them out individually, but hopefully they're going to see themselves in your description of someone who is purposely dropping the resistance too low too often, or maybe not even purposely, just subconsciously. If that happens, it could be a light bulb moment for them. They may actually say to themselves, interesting. I guess I do usually turn it too low when you say turn it down. You have made them aware of the responsibility for their own actions that might even be keeping them from seeing the success they desire, whether it be weight loss, increased endurance, or even just the ability to push longer on a hard climb. Indoor bikes without power meters, that is, most of them, do not have a way to objectively measure output. There's no way to know how much actual work you're doing, and know that heart rate monitor you're wearing is not an objective measure of work. So as you move that resistance knob to the right, you're often just guessing at what gear you should use, right? When changing resistance from a very steep hill and taking it back down to a moderate hill, many riders take off way too much. In other words, they're cheating themselves. Now you might tell me, Jennifer, I never cheat and neither do my students. But I bet if I were to put a power meter on your bike without your knowledge, I could prove that you think you're working harder than you actually are, especially or even if your heart rate monitor is showing a high heart rate. Now that what I just told you to you is something you can tell your students when they say, I never cheat. Now, this particular profile is not going to go really deep into understanding heart rate and why it's not a measurement of output. Hopefully, you've either taken my workshop, Mastering the Art and Science of Heart Rate Training, either live or at the Indoor Cycling Summit. As an ICA member, you can search the member topic that is called Physiology, Heart Rate, and RPE. You're going to find numerous articles and interviews that touch on heart rate and why it's not a measurement of output and why it's so variable. Now, what I'm about to tell you right here, I'm going to give you a cycling scenario of how Mother Nature does not allow us to cheat outdoors and how she doesn't always give us what we want or that we think we need in that moment. In other words, the hill doesn't always ease up just because we want it to. All right, so suppose you're outdoors climbing a long hill and it's moderately challenging. Let's say a 6% grade. If you're a cyclist, you know what that feels like. And you're already in your second to lowest gear, so you don't have a lot more options available. You know it's going to get harder. It's going to get steeper. You're going to have to shift down. Let's say you're maintaining a solid but slow cadence of 65 RPM. Now, let's also assume you don't have granny gears. That means you don't have those really low gears that you find on mountain bikes or in road bikes that have a triple chain ring in the front. So then the hill becomes steeper. Let's say it gets up to 8% or 9%. That's pretty steep. You drop to your lowest gear and you continue to power through to maintain 65 RPM. You may have to stand up to add body weight to the equation. You tell yourself that you don't want your cadence to fall any lower because you just slog up that hill way too slowly if you do. Now, let's suppose the hill lets up a little bit, okay? So it feels a little better, but it's still kind of challenging. Let's suppose it is now only, in quotes, only 7%. It feels a little easier than it was a moment ago when it was 8 or 9. But by this time, your heart rate is high, your legs are fatigued, you're breathing hard. You wish you had one more gear, but you're already in your lowest one, and you can't cheat. You cannot drop your gear any lower. So you cyclists reading this or listening to this, you know exactly how that feels, don't you? I live in the mountains in Colorado. It's an everyday thing with me when I'm on my bike. So what are you going to do? You don't have another gear. You can't turn around, or you tell yourself you're not going to give up or turn around. It's not like you're dying, okay? We're not talking like this super, super anaerobic mountain biking, pushing yourself. It's just hard. You still want to maintain your 65 RPM. You still want to maintain your power output. So you have no choice but to accept the hill as it is and relax. Recover while you're still working. You can't cheat. You can't take any more hill off. I guess if you want, you can serpentine if there's no traffic. But the fact is, the point is, Mother Nature doesn't just make it easier whenever you want it to be. Now, think of that outdoor scenario, and let's go back indoors. On an indoor bike, it's so easy when you're in that situation to simply sweep off more resistance than you could outdoors, right? Now, don't get me wrong, there is certainly a time and place to do that when our intensity is too high and someone's legs just cannot maintain it. Some of our students are just not fit enough to go back to the resistance they were before it got super steep. Of course, they have to take off more. Also, what happens is that less experienced students might have even selected too much resistance to start with. Well, this profile is going to help your students become aware of how often they subconsciously select resistance or sweep off too much resistance. That's too easy when they back the resistance knob down, especially in a climbing scenario when we ask them to take it off. I see it all the time. I see them. I see how far their hands turn on that resistance knob or on a gear, like when they, like you see them grab that gear and pull it back, and you just wanted them to ease it back. Well, the fact is, we all cheat at times, usually without realizing it. I do it, you do it, our students do it. When you have a power meter indoors, well, I guess outdoors too, but indoors, it keeps you honest. When you do not have a power meter, you don't always realize what's happening because you don't have that quantifiable evidence, watts, staring you in the face. Well, this profile is going to help you fix that. Why is it important to teach as if you have power? Well, let me ask you a question. If you're not wearing a heart rate monitor, is your heart still beating? Of course it is. That's a silly question, right? And if you're not wearing one, that doesn't mean you dismiss heart rate, correct? Some instructors and many students seem to think that if they aren't wearing a heart rate monitor, then they don't think they should be concerned with understanding heart rate. Well, it's the same with power. If you don't have a power meter, you are still producing power whether you care about it or not. Power is even more important to be aware of than heart rate because your choices of cadence and resistance affect how much power you produce, which ultimately affects how many calories you burn. Power is a direct measurement of work, the amount of kilojoules you are producing to turn those pedals. Now, again, I'm like, this is not like a primer on power. We're just kind of pretending we have power. So I won't go into kilojoules here. I don't want to, you have to read and learn more. But just know that those kilojoules in turn are ultimately a direct measurement of calories or kcals burned, kilocalories. That's why it is so important, because power affects how many calories we burn. I want you to listen really carefully to what I'm about to say. If your cadence or resistance choices are unwise, for example, high cadence with too low or no resistance for extended periods, and or your technique is poor, then your power output and caloric burn will be lower, even though heart rate may be high. That could be one of the single most important things you can learn about the effectiveness and success of your profiles and your coaching. If you know that the elements that work together to increase average power output, then it should follow that you should respect them whenever possible, right? Now, that doesn't mean that your goal should be to maximize power output at every moment. You'd be a wreck after every single class if you tried to do that. Rather, the goal is to optimize power output during your working segments. That doesn't include warm-up, easy recoveries, or cool-down, based on the objectives of that profile. So, for example, a power objective of a tempo profile below threshold is obviously going to be different than a VO2 max profile of zone 5B intervals. 5B is way above threshold. Without a power meter, you cannot know exactly your output in watts. But indoors, if your cadence and resistance are the same on successive work efforts, then your output is going to be the same. If you reduce either one of them, cadence or resistance, then power will drop. Our intention in this profile is to not let it drop below a baseline that we're going to set on the first hill. Now, there's some other things that reduce power output and hence reduce caloric consumption. These are the following. Poor form, that's why we always work on technique, right? Poor setup, that could be saddle too low, too high, too far back, too far forward. Superfluous upper body movements, that includes push-ups, crunches, twisting, turning, lifting weights. Hovering, squatting, other lower body manipulations, isolations, or freezing any part of the body. It includes super fast jumps or things like tap backs. And of course, very high cadence with little to no resistance. You know, some riders, that could be anything above 90 RPM, but usually we're talking cadences above 110 unless they're really skilled. And it also includes very high resistance with very low cadence, so down in the 30, 40, 50, anything below 50 RPM. It's important to keep these things in mind when designing and teaching your classes. Now, this is not a session or a profile about contraindicated movements, so I'm not going to go in depth into the reasons why, but suffice it to say that one of the many reasons why these techniques are not advised is because every single one of them will reduce power output. Often, due to the vast misinformation that is so prevalent these days, riders and instructors believe that some of these techniques are actually increasing caloric burn when in fact they are not. If you ride with a power meter, you will see the proof. Now, to learn why those techniques, those improper techniques, actually reduce power and reduce effectiveness and increase chances of injury, make sure you read my ebook called Keep It Real. You can find that in the e-store at the ICA website. All right, back to our current profile. Let's talk about RPE and heart rate. When working with power, heart rate is still very important, but it is secondary. Power is a measure of output. Heart rate is the response to that effort, the response to that output. In other words, heart rate reflects how all of your systems in your body are responding to the work that you're putting forth through the pedals. In this profile, since we don't have power meters, we're going to pay close attention to both perceived exertion and heart rate. But the perceived exertion is going to be the first indicator of intensity. And then we're going to notice how that affects heart rate and make any adjustments if needed. In other words, you will establish intensity first by using verbal descriptions of what riders should feel in their legs and their breathing and their cardiovascular system while they're climbing. And then after they've been climbing for a few minutes, you're going to ask them to look at their heart rate monitor to see how it responded. So the goal of this profile is to set a baseline intensity for the first hill. Of course, you're not going to know watts, but you're going to pretend that it is X. Their heart rate at that X should be somewhere below threshold at a perceived exertion of somewhat hard. From there, in each climb, you're going to take it up a notch, higher than X. And you're going to ask them that they not drop below X at any time during that climb, except during recoveries or unless they acknowledge that their bodies shouldn't be working hard that day. This is how we're going to pretend that we have power. You've established your baseline output, and it's not going to drop below that in work efforts. Throughout the ride, you're going to describe how this is going to benefit them in future rides as they make conscious decisions on whether to cheat or not. So let's talk about the profile, but before I get into the profile, I just want you to know that I'm referring to indoor bicycles that do not have power meters, although I give you some modifications. If you have bikes with power, awesome, you can still use this profile. I'm talking about bikes, most of which have a resistance knob that turns to the right in order to increase resistance. You've all ridden bikes like that, right? When you turn the resistance, it gradually pushes a brake pad into the flywheel, or it may have magnetic resistance. Either one works. There will be a 9-minute warm-up with cadence surges to wake the legs up. Then there are going to be 5 climbs of approximately 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 minutes long. That's 5 climbs, with a recovery of 3 to 4 minutes in between. All of the climbs are going to be at the exact same cadence, well, a similar cadence, around 66 to 67 RPM. I use songs that are 132 to 135 beats per minute. That gives you right around 66, 67. This is done in order to establish an understanding of the relationship between cadence and resistance and how it determines your power output. If cadence changed on every hill, then there's no way to pretend that we have power, right? So the first climb, we're going to establish that baseline resistance, and then you're going to visually use that same position every time they return to a climb. How do we do this? Well, it's going to require that you actually put a mark on that resistance knob. You're going to put a black line that is going to point, and then you use that as a visual. It's going to be like a second hand on a clock. You know, you can read a clock, you can read time, even if there's no numbers on it, right? You simply do it by looking at the minute hand or the second hand. Let's talk about that minute hand. Wherever it's pointing, you know whether it's 10 seconds, 10 minutes after, 20 minutes after, 30 minutes after, etc. We're going to visualize it like that. It's important to realize that the resistance is going to be different from one bike to another on bikes with brake pads. Brake pads wear differently due to friction, right? So some require many turns before they start to show the resistance. Some don't require much at all. But how many turns it takes to start the resistance doesn't matter for this ride, because once you have established a baseline climbing resistance, it's not going to require a huge amount to add more. In other words, A full turn to the right is going to be really super hard, and a full turn to the left is going to make it not on a hill anymore. So once you're on that hill, it might only be a half inch, an inch, or a quarter turn or so to feel a big difference in steepness. This will make more sense when you're playing with this on your bikes. So by marking the resistance knob like it's a minute hand on a clock, you can easily guide your students to return to their baseline resistance and never drop below it. The resistance knob on every model bike is different. Most are red, I'm not really sure why. Some are solid red with no markings. Some have the spinning logo design if it's a Star Trek bike, but different models have a different logo. Some have arrows, some have a plus and minus sign, whatever. No matter what they have, it's always easier to put a thick black line. You will need permission to do this on your bikes if you're not the studio owner, of course. So you can mark them with a black permanent marker, which will still wear off in a short amount of time depending on how much the bikes are used. Or you can find black nail polish and you can actually paint the minute hand on the dial. Now, if you don't want a permanent mark, you can always place a piece of masking tape or clear tape on the knob and then just put that mark on top of it. Another way to do it, and this is how I do it, I have some pictures for you, is I just took a thin slice of black electrical tape. I cut a thin couple millimeters wide, about a half an inch, and I just put that electrical tape on the marker and it pointed like my minute hand. Obviously, if you have bikes with a different color, like black knobs, you're going to need to find white tape or white pen or white polish. So look at the pictures in your handout to see what I'm talking about. Now, before I get into the profile, what if you do have power? Then you don't need to pretend, right? You are really lucky. You can easily modify this profile. Every time I refer to pretending you have power, you simply talk about watts, right? You simply talk about how important power is. When I refer to establishing a baseline resistance via turning the knob, you simply have them establish a baseline number of watts that correspond to the perceived exertion that you describe in that first climb. And then every successive hill repeat after that should not drop below that number of watts. Now, if you do have power, I strongly recommend that you take a power-specific certification course and learn how to conduct field tests to determine their 3-minute, 5-minute, 10-minute, and 20-minute benchmarks. The 20-minute benchmark can serve as a rider's functional threshold power. All right, we're going to jump into the profile now. Pretend you have power. First song, while they're warming up, you're going to explain the goal of the ride. During this warm-up, you want to get their legs ready, do a couple cadence surges for 30 seconds, maybe 3 or 4 of them. So after they're starting to warm up, you say, "Hey everyone, did you notice that I put a marker on the resistance knob? Think of it as the minute hand on a clock. This is going to make it so much easier for you to know where you have turned the knob. Now, I'll get back to this in a moment. I have a question for you. I want you to be honest with the answer, too. Now, you don't have to tell me the answer. I just want you to tell yourself. Here it is. Have you ever cheated in a spinning class? Do you realize how easy it is to cheat? I know I have, and I bet you all have a little bit more than you think you do. Now, I'm not talking about making a conscious decision to go easier because you're recovering, because you're injured, or you're overly fatigued. That's called taking care of yourself. It's not cheating. That's a good thing. But what I am talking about are those moments when we know we can go harder. We know we can push harder, but we just get lazy. Yep, sometimes you even know it and you do it consciously. You think, no one else will know. But the truth is, you know, and you are the only person that matters, right? Now, I also admit that oftentimes it is unconscious. You don't realize that you're cheating. You don't realize that you're not getting as much out of your ride as you could be. Now, this is often because we don't pay attention to where our resistance is or where we put it when we're backing it off, especially off of a climb or when we take way too much off for recoveries. Well, those days are over because today I'm going to teach you a method that is going to keep you honest. Honest about your resistance and honest about your cadence. As a result, it will keep you honest about your output on these bikes, and your output is so important. It is how much work you're really doing. If we had bikes with power meters, it would keep you honest all the time because you would see the amount of watts you're producing. Now, watts are a measure of output, and I'm not going to go too much into that, but if you fell below a certain number of watts on a section of road, you would know that you're not working to your potential. Your heart rate, believe it or not, is not always a reliable measure of output. Your heart rate is the response to that output. Heart rate is the input of all your systems, your cardiovascular, your muscular, your hormonal, emotional, etc. And many things can affect heart rate outside of the effort that you're putting in. Things that have nothing to do with your effort, such as stress or how much caffeine you had or if you have a cold or the room is really hot. But, and this is really important, only two things affect your power output. And those two things are, one, the force that you put into the pedals to turn them, or in our case, the resistance that we're pushing against, and two, how fast you're turning the pedals, or your cadence. Now, I'm not going to get all science-y on you today, so I'm not going to go into power in great detail, but in today's ride, we're going to learn how to pretend that we have power meters. How? I'll tell you more as we go along, but today, basically, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do 5 climbs. Each one will get gradually longer and longer. And you're going to do each one at the same exact cadence. That's going to allow us to anchor one of those two elements of power I just mentioned. Remember, I said it was one was resistance and two was cadence. Well, we are going to keep cadence constant. I'll be giving you some cues along the way that will help you. So are you ready for your first climb? Now, instructors, on this first climb, you're going to coach them to gradually increase their hill to the point where it feels somewhat challenging, and then you're going to have them set that as their baseline. But don't tell them too much on this climb, and don't refer to that line on the resistance knob until the end of this climb because you don't want to influence their baseline choice. Let them find what feels right. And then also, don't use heart rate as a guide for output. Use perceived exertion, and then you're going to look at heart rate at the end of the climb. So you tell them, this first hill is about 4 minutes long, and this is our test climb. Begin climbing by dialing in some resistance to feel a slight hill. Grab the beat. Make sure to leave room for your hill to grow harder. We're going to load some resistance every minute, so by the end of minute 3, you'll be at a moderately challenging climb that makes you think, but doesn't make you want to slow down or quit. Then after a minute, you say, stay seated and add a little more, feeling an increase in the resistance against your foot. Then after 2 minutes, all right, turn up a little more. Imagine the road gaining in steepness. It's still manageable, but now you're really committed to this climb, starting to breathe more. After 3 minutes, okay, here we go again. Ease in a little more hill. If you ride outside, it might feel like 6% by now. You should feel your quads and your glutes working to turn the pedals. You're breathing deeply, but you're not suffering, and you should not be breathless here. This is very important. This should feel like a hill you could hold for a long time if you had to, working, but knowing it could get steeper, even much steeper. I want you to be on a moderately hard hill right now, something that you could return to again and again. Make sure to assess that honestly. Not too easy, not too hard. Why? Because where you are right now is where we will start each hill from now on, or maybe even a little harder. And I do not want you to drop below this point while climbing. So you have 45 seconds left. Decide right here and now if you're okay with that. Decide, is this too hard? Or is it too easy? If you don't think you can maintain this over the next 4 climbs, then you may want to back it off a bit. If you think that you're going to not feel like much is going on here, you got to add on a little bit. Make that decision right now because this is going to become your baseline. Now, with 15 seconds left, you say, "All right, great, you've made up your mind. You accept the challenge of this hill that you're on right now. Now, before you recover, look down. I want you to look at your resistance knob and look at that black line I drew on the knob. Remember that minute hand? Where is it pointing? Is it at 15 seconds, 35 seconds, 45 seconds? This is your visual. It is what is going to keep you honest from this point forward. I need you to remember your minutes. Now, instructors, give them an example of where yours is pointed. You might say, mine is pointing to 20 minutes past the hour. That means every time I say baseline hill, I'm going to make sure I always go to 20 minutes. All right, great. Now look at your heart rate. Make a mental note of where it is at this resistance and this cadence. Before you back off, I also want you to count how many times you have to turn the knob back to find a flat road to recover on. I'm not going to tell you how many. Every bike is different. Every person is different. But start now, take your hill off, and count. It might be two turns, it might be one and a half, it might be just one. It doesn't matter. Make sure that you feel some resistance underneath you, even on the flat road. All right, so now it's your recovery. If you need, you can always stand up partway through, but you know, it's not always necessary. You're going to explain why you're using that minute hand method to visualize where the resistance is, knob is pointing. You all can tell time on a clock without numbers, right? Well, that's because studies show that the visual is all you need. That's what you're doing here. That visual of where that minute hand is pointing will help you remember where you need to return to. Now let your legs spin on this flat road. This one is 83 RPM. You've got 3 minutes. Let your heart rate come down. Breathe easy. Now while you recover, I'm going to explain how we are pretending that we have power. Remember I said that power output is a result of your cadence and your resistance? Outdoors, the force that you put into the pedals have to counter the gear you've chosen, the wind. That's why aerodynamics is so important outside. It overcomes road resistance and also your weight against gravity when climbing. Now, indoors, we only have the resistance knob that simulates all of those things. So you have now established a baseline resistance for the next four hills. Okay, mine is at 20 minutes past the hour. All of the songs are at the same beats per minute, about. So your cadence for each climb is going to be right around 66 or 67 RPM. I want you to really listen to the beat. Therefore, at that cadence, because we're never going to drop below that baseline resistance that you've selected, you can assume that your power output will also be the same, okay? It's not going to drop below your baseline power. Does that make sense? We will have the same cadence and the same starting resistance, which will be as if we're starting at the same power output for each climb. Got it? This is how we're pretending that we have a power meter. This may be stating the obvious, but even if you don't have a power meter, you're still producing power, right? Well, that doesn't occur to some people. It's kind of like saying that even if you don't wear a heart rate monitor, your heart rate is still responding to your workout, right? Yeah, it makes sense. We're going to call whatever resistance you've established for your baseline as your X. And anytime we increase it, it's going to be a factor greater than X. Since cadence will stay the same, then your power is going to go up, right? This is what I mean by keeping you honest. If you raise your resistance but lowered your cadence, your power might not increase. In fact, it could even decrease depending on how slow you pedal, but not today. So make me a promise. No matter what we do for each of our hills, once we start climbing, you won't let your hill drop below your baseline X. That is, unless you find that today you're not up to it. If it hurts or you're just too exhausted because of a rough week, that's okay. You know I always encourage you to listen to your body. But if you're feeling fine and have the desire to work hard, then that's the promise you make to yourself and to me. All right, let's move into our second climb. Tell them, start dialing in the resistance and within the first 15 to 20 seconds, I want you to bring yourself to your baseline resistance. grab that beat. Okay, it's 67 RPM. Imagine if there was a power meter, you're going to be at the same watts as when you finished that last climb. Now we're going to start making this hill a little harder after 1 minute. Ease on a little more hill. Turn the knob to the right. It might be a few millimeters. It might be half an inch. Everyone's different. Leave room for two more increases after 2 minutes. All right, add a little more. Stay seated another minute. This is starting to be pretty hard. At the next increase, you're going to stand up. But before we do, check with your heart rate. You're just checking to see how your heart rate is responding to this hill. It should be approaching your threshold, if not already there. Is it work? Yes. Okay, after 3 minutes, give me another percent grade on your road. Don't let your cadence drop. Remember, that would mean your power out would drop. Now go ahead and stand up, hold this cadence, hold this resistance. Let the heart rate do what it's going to do. It may bring you close to breathless. Now leave them up for about a minute. You're now 4 minutes into the song, and then you tell them after 4 minutes, all right, I want you to sit back down. Now listen up now. You've got one more minute, and I want you to turn your hill down a little bit. But this is key. In the past, you might have just like swept off more than you thought, okay, unconsciously. Your first instinct may be to turn it much further down than you normally would or than you should because you're breathing kind of hard. But by bringing it back to your baseline and not going below it, we're not going to cheat. Mother Nature does not always ease up as much as you would like her on those climbs outdoors. So indoors, that's what we're simulating. It's not as easy. So back it off. Don't go below your baseline. You want to learn to recover while you're still working. Keep your cadence consistent. So when that song ends, you go into the recovery. Tell them to breathe, relax. Tell them the next one is 6 minutes. And at the next one, of course, you're going to start right at your baseline. Next song starts. Bring your road up to meet your cadence and find your baseline right away. Settle into this for 1 minute. But we're going to do this one a little differently. You're going to alternate between a seated climb at your baseline and a harder standing climb. And we're going to establish that resistance when we stand up for the first time. And then we're going to alternate both of them for 30 seconds each. So after a minute, you tell them, turn it up to a hill that requires you to get out of the saddle. I want it to be challenging, borderline breathless, but not quite. I want you to be on that edge. This is going to be like switchbacks. Now, after they've been standing for 30 seconds, say, look at your minute hand. That black knob mark on the knob, where is it? Is it 15 minutes beyond your baseline? Is it 20 minutes? Whatever it is, remember it. And then have them sit back down and go back to their baseline. Okay, and have them notice their heart rate as well. So you're going to alternate between these two markers. Baseline while seated, and then whatever resistance they establish standing, 30 seconds each. Just remind them that they're putting out some really good power and they're never allowing themselves to cheat when they sit back down. Next song is recovery, obviously. Have them appreciate it. Remind them they have two more hills and each one is going to be very different. All right, so the fourth climb is 7 minutes long. Now this hill is going to be different in that you're going to start off hard and then you're going to gradually ease up the steepness little by little until you get them back to the baseline. This is going to help them realize that they can learn to recover while they're still working, and then similar to the last one, teaching them not to sweep off too much resistance when easing up on a hill. And that's something that is so common in how so many of our students are cheating themselves. So when the song starts, you say, I want you to turn it up to the same place you had it on the last climb when you were standing, right? Past your baseline. Go ahead and stand up where this hill starts off like a wall. Now you stay standing for a minute. After a minute, you say, all right, now sit back down. We're going to gradually ease the hill down until we get it back to baseline. Now, right now, split the difference between where the knob was when standing and where your baseline is. Only go halfway back. Feel the challenge in the legs. Meet this challenge. No cheating here. I'm keeping you honest. In the past, you might have wanted to take off more, but not today. Now, after 2 minutes, say, reach down and split the difference again, getting even closer to your baseline, but not quite there. After 3 minutes, say, okay, now take it to your baseline. It's going to feel like a little bit of a respite, but remember, you're putting out that same baseline power, so you're not cheating. This is realistic. This is what it's like outside on hills that ease up slightly, but not as much as you want them to. Your legs are talking to you that they want to turn it down even more, but you won't let them, right? You tell your legs, shut up. Try to get your heart rate down while still climbing. Breathe with your belly. Relax your upper body. Sometimes that baseline doesn't seem as easy as it did earlier, does it? Okay, so at 4 minutes, you're going to repeat what you just did. You take it back to the top, that standing climb, and then you back it off until the song ends every minute. Next song is Recovery. Once again, obviously, you bring it down. You tell them that this last one is 8 minutes. You're going to treat this last one like an undulating mountain biking trail that alternates between steeper and less steep, though always climbing. But remember, no matter what, do not drop below baseline. Now, I use a song on this last one. It's 8 minutes long, although there are some other versions out there. There's one that's a little over 9 minutes. If that's all you can find, you can still use that. You just do a little less in the cool down. And that's perfectly fine to have a longer version of the song because it is a really fun song. It's got a lot of layering to it. It's got a lot of energy, increases and breaks. Now, in your handout, I give you an example of how I do it. But in fact, every time I do it, it's a little different with this song because I just kind of let myself be in the moment and go with the energy. But basically what you're going to do, you know, after about a minute of, once you've established your baseline, after about a minute, you're going to start resistance loading in small increments, and then you add enough to stand up, and then you only stay standing for 15 to 20 seconds, and you sit back down, you back it off a little, you build it up again, you stand up, you back off, you build it up, whatever. You just practice this song before you do it with your students. This is what you tell them. I want you to find that beat right away, okay, and start out at your baseline. I'm going to be giving you changes every 15 to 30 seconds. You are in control. Be ready to challenge yourself. But again, do not drop below your baseline, no matter what I say. If you need a break from the added steepness, then don't do what I'm asking. When I ask for more, just stay at your baseline. I want you to make your increases very subtle, enough to feel a slight difference. But I guarantee you, you don't need a huge amount to make this challenging. This is a hard, very energetic climb. Now, also remember to never drop below this beat of 67 RPM. Now, instructors, check in with their heart rates. This song can really push them. Okay, check in with them halfway and towards the end. They're going to most likely be above their threshold. If during the song their heart rate gets away from them, then have them sit and then ride at their baseline, unless, of course, they can't continue. All right, final cool down and stretch. Time to bring down the heart rate. You need to finish up and remind them why you just did what they did so that they can carry this and remember it and take this concept of pretending they have power and not cheating into future classes. You say, power output, if it's in your face, you cannot cheat. It keeps you honest, doesn't it? Today, we didn't have watts to tell you what to do or where to be, but while keeping that same cadence on climbs and never dropping below that baseline, then you knew for sure that your power output was solid and that you did not cheat. Without a power meter, there's no way to know your watts for sure, but at least you've got an idea of how power works. You can take this concept with you when you're doing intervals in any other class on any terrain, whether it's flat or hills, to make sure your power output is at least as high as, or higher than, that first interval. You come back to your original cadence and resistance, or again, a little higher, of your first interval. The point is to make sure it's not lower. If, in fact, you cannot maintain that output, then it's a message to you that you're fatigued and probably shouldn't do any more intervals. You know, I always try to teach you to listen to your bodies. Now, next time we're going to do this at a different cadence, maybe 75 RPM. That would require a lower resistance to get the same power output, but can you see how it'd be an entirely different challenge, a different intensity, a different workout? Remember though, every resistance knob on each of these bikes is different. So you can't really take your baseline position on the bike you're on, wherever your minute hand was pointing, and expect it to be the same on a different bike. Okay, it's only relative to that bike on that ride on that particular cadence. You're going to have to reassess it on each ride if you're on a different bike. Make sense? Awesome. Great, great output today. Now let's get off and stretch.